Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 22, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Achieve Optimum Health with Six Kinds of Whole Foods with my guest, author Dr. Janice Stenger. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Whether you're listening on the phone, on the website, in the chat room, or some of you are even listening from our archives, I want to welcome you still and thank you for making space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. You want to be sure to click the one that says follow. That follow button will enable you to get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week of each episode. So that's a very helpful thing to do. Now, some of you have always wanted to write a book, and I know that because you've told me. If that's you, if you've always wanted to write a book, maybe you're one of those people who've actually been writing pages and pages for months or even years, but you just don't know how to get your book published. If this sounds like you, I invite you to get your copy of my home study workshop, How to Write a Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. I will show you how to go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important, in this workshop, I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book before it's even finished. Now, doesn't that sound good? Now, you will download your copy of the Home Study Workshop from my website, abookin90days.com. When you place your order, you'll be able to download the course immediately. So go ahead and take a look at abookin90days.com. On this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from many fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about a variety of subjects because they all contribute to your lasting happiness. Today's episode is Achieve Optimum Health with Six Kinds of Whole Foods with my guest, Dr. Janice Stenger, author of the Whole Foods Nutrition book, The Perfect Formula Diet, How to Lose Weight and Get Healthy Now with Six Kinds of Whole Foods. Janice was inspired to research plant-based nutrition by her two daughters, who decided to stop eating meat at ages 11 and 13. She reviewed thousands of peer-reviewed studies in medical journals and worked with leaders in the field of whole foods nutrition over the last 16 years. Janice has a PhD in human development and aging from the University of California, San Francisco, one of the country's leading health sciences campuses. She is certified in plant-based nutrition and has an MBA from University of California, Berkeley. Her site is www.perfectformuladiet.com. You can email Janice directly from the contact information on her site. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Dr. Janice Stenger. Hi, Janice.
Hi, and it's my pleasure to be here, Flora.
Thank you. Thank you for making time to come on and share with us what we all need to know about optimum health, because I think this is something that in the past, I think people were concerned more about losing weight, but more and more we're beginning to realize we need to be concerned about our health as well, not just the losing weight, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to just focus on, you know, kind of looking like a model, because that's really not important. What's important is that you're happy and that you're healthy, and those two go together real strongly.
They do. Let's start with at the beginning with what you mean by whole foods, because that's an important distinction to make. I'm sure what you mean by it is very different from what some of us have in our heads.
Right, absolutely. Well, whole foods are just plant foods you can make in your kitchen. They can be raw, they can be cooked. It can be as simple as a plain strawberry, or it can be as elaborate as a four-course gourmet meal. Basically, the secret of whole foods is just in the ingredients. So, for example, from whole foods, you can make really yummy dishes like burritos, enchiladas, soups, sandwiches, wraps, salads, casseroles, pizzas, bean spreads, plant milks. You can even make desserts that are healthy whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the secret is to make them from whole plant ingredients that are minimally processed. So mm-hmm. what I mean by minimally processed, again, kind of gets back to what you can do in your kitchen. So foods that can be made only in a factory, and that would include things like oils in a jar, isolated protein powders, highly processed foods such as white breads, white rice, refined sugars, sodas, mm-hmm. energy drinks, you know, and as I said, oils and margarines. None of those things are whole foods. Whole foods are basically what you can make if you, for example, bought a strawberry. There's a lot of things you could do with it. If you bought some soybeans, there's a lot of things you could do with it. But in terms of breaking it apart into its component parts, you kind of need to do that in a factory. So that's what you want to stay away from.
Okay. What are the six kinds of whole foods that we mentioned in your title?
Well, it's important to really know the categories, because that's going to help you stay on track and get to your optimal health.
Mm-hmm.
And the categories, the first two most people will think about right away, which are vegetables and fruits. And most people think of vegetables and fruits when they think of whole foods. But the third category is actually legumes, which includes beans and peas, and potatoes, which are all in the same group,
mm-hmm.
legumes, the beans, peas, potatoes. And the reason they're all in the same group is they have about the same number of calories per forkful. So, you know, you've heard the term calorie density. All that means
yes.
is how many calories are in a forkful of the food. And so those are all mm-hmm. about the same. So we group them together.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's whole grains. And grains are basically seeds. They're just the seeds of certain plants. And they're seeds that store their energy as complex carbohydrates rather than fat. And mm-hmm. that would include things like whole wheat, oatmeal, corn, quinoa, barley, brown rice. More, you know, they're just all kinds now. They're becoming very popular. Kind of they call them the
mm-hmm.
ancient grains. But those are all kind of one category.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the four main kinds, and just to repeat, if people are taking notes, it's vegetables, fruits, the beans, peas, and potatoes, the whole grains. And then the last two are nuts and seeds is one category, and herbs and spices make up mm-hmm. the sixth category.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'm taking notes too. So essentially, back to the what you mean by whole foods then, these are things that have not, these are going to be fresh things that we can get the ingredients and make at home, as opposed to the processed foods that are more popularly known as convenience foods because they've been processed, they've been tampered with. So if we stick, it sounds like if we stick to things that we create at home, we're probably on a good track, things that we have to make from fresh, correct? In general.
Exactly. But the thing is, some of them can be frozen. For example, you can
sure.
get frozen brown rice at Trader Joe's and just heat it up okay. if you don't have time to cook brown rice, and that's
okay.
perfectly fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, other than obviously you're going to pay a little more for the convenience, but health-wise
sure.
there's no issue with it. And
sure.
you know, you can buy frozen fruit, frozen vegetables, there's nothing wrong with that. You can buy dried fruits. You know, all those things are good, but the point is they're kind of recognizable from the original ingredient. You can look at a raisin and kind of visualize a grape that it was made from. You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's not like some kind of manufactured fruit snack that some people buy for their kids that actually are nothing but food coloring and sugar with some artificial fruit flavor. It's something that's recognizable as made from the whole food.
What is the combination then? What's the formula to achieve optimum health with the six kinds of whole foods?
Well, actually, it turns out to be easier than you'd think for, and the key is to balance each kind of whole food against the others.
Okay.
And this is actually an easy process. It doesn't involve counting calories, doesn't involve weighing, measuring, doesn't involve eating tiny meals that leave you famished, which I did myself for years. I'd eat these tiny little 300-calorie meals, and I'd feel like I ate nothing. You don't have to do that. There's none of the drawbacks of kind of run-of-the-mill eating plans. So before you understand how much to eat of each food, it's helpful if you know why. So I just want to spend a minute kind of talking about your body's hunger signal, because that's kind of what's going to determine how much you're going to eat. So hunger is basically nothing but your body talking to you, and it's telling you you need something. And your body has elaborate sensors for food because it's basic to survival. When you think about our ancestors kind of foraging in nature, they needed to know what they needed to eat and when, and so hunger told them that. And for something as important as food, your body has a lot of different sensors. It's not really simple. It has at least three kinds of food sensors. First, it senses calories. It senses a wide range of nutrients. And then finally, you've probably heard about this before, you have these stretch receptors in your stomach. And the stretch receptors tell your stomach, tells your brain that your stomach is full. So if any one of these is not satisfied, your body's going to send you out to get more food. And it's kind of pointless to resist because you can resist up to a certain point. But beyond that, it's like holding your breath. It's just like your body's in command. You're going to go out and you're going to eat because it's a survival instinct.
Yes.
Now, here's the secret. When you eat whole foods in optimal proportions, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute, you balance one kind of whole food against the other, you're satisfying all three of these receptors at once. You're going to get enough calories, enough nutrients. You're going to physically fill your stomach. Your body's happy. Your hunger turns off. Your food cravings turn off. And your body tells you, okay, you know, now you can go do something else. So here's how you accomplish this. Most of what you're going to eat are what I call the four pillars of the perfect formula diet. And those are vegetables, fruits, the combination of beans, peas, potatoes, and whole grains. And you do this by volume, but you don't really have to measure. Just estimating is fine. So roughly one quarter of your food by volume is going to come from each of these categories. So just for an example, let's say you ate a half a cup of vegetables. Then ideally you would eat a half a cup of fruit, a half a cup of either beans or potatoes, and a half cup of whole grains. But as I said, you don't really have to measure it. You don't need to be that precise. You don't need to go in a certain order. It just the point is to eat generously of each of these kind of fruits. And some people make a mistake. They think, well, I'm just going to eat fruits and vegetables. And that usually lasts about half a day to a day. Because remember, then you're not satisfying your calorie receptors and you're famished. I mean, you could fill your stomach to the top with, you know, 16 cups of lettuce and you're still going to be hungry because there's not really any calories in it. So that's why it's important to eat this combination. Now, you can supplement these foods. As I said, you want to eat a little bit of nuts. You don't need a whole lot of nuts because they're very calorie dense, but they are healthy foods, so you could eat one or two handfuls of those 4 or 6 times a week. That's fine. Then in terms of herbs and spices, there's absolutely no limit. You want to eat flavorful foods. It helps, first off, it helps keep your taste buds happy because no matter what you're eating, the taste basically comes from herbs and spices, right? They're rich in very good nutrients called phytochemicals, which protect your cells and slow the rate of aging. They'll also keep you from missing salt. So if you've got some really richly flavored food with, say, some fresh basil and parsley and, you know, fresh cracked black pepper and all that, you don't really need a lot of salt. And so it helps you keep down the salt. So, you know, experiment with a lot of those. Now, what's the one thing I'm not telling you, you'll notice, is how much to eat. I'm not telling you how much to eat. And you know what's going to tell you how much to eat is your own body. So your body keeps way better track. It's just the world's most precise accountant of what you need. So when your body needs something, it's going to tell you. It's going to say, hey, you're hungry. And then, you know, think of the, you know, four main categories and just try to think, well, you know, I had some fruit and vegetables today and some beans, but I didn't have any whole grains, so maybe now I want to eat, you know, a bowl of oatmeal or some corn on the cob or, you know, whatever. Just kind of, you know, you're roughly balancing things. As I said, there's absolutely no need to measure things unless you absolutely like measuring things, which most people don't. So, you know, you're going to go by your hunger. So the best thing to do is to eat when you're moderately hungry. If you wait until you're famished, you kind of tend to lose control and just stuff yourself with more food than is good for you. Anything that's at hand, it's just not a good idea. So eat when you're moderately hungry. And then another trick is to just eat slowly. So these sensors take a little time to register and tell your brain what you're eating. So, you know, if you just eat your food really fast because you only have a five-minute lunch break and you're kind of gobbling down a sandwich and an apple just in 5 minutes, you're probably not going to feel real satisfied. If you can eat more leisurely when you can, you'll enjoy your food more and you'll give your, you know, sensors time to tell your brain, hey, you know, Flora just ate enough food and she's really happy now, so she could probably go a few hours and then she's going to want something else. And you know, there's no need to eat just at mealtimes, Flora. You can eat when you're hungry. I mean, basically, in my book, I call this not meals rather than meals because, you know, if you wait till mealtime, let's say you eat breakfast at 7 a.m. and lunch isn't until noon, you're probably going to get really hungry somewhere around mid-morning, and it's really best to eat something then rather than waiting, as I said, till you get absolutely famished and your body's really unhappy with you. So yeah, those are kind of the main tricks about the formula. You should, if you're needing to lose weight, you'll lose a sustainable pound or two a week, and the weight loss will be permanent as long as you eat that way. You'll never be hungry because, remember, you're eating till you're full.
Right, right.
If you don't need to lose weight, your weight should be stable. But in either case, whether you're losing weight or not, your health is going to dramatically improve. It's going to dramatically improve, and in fact, you know, I want to tell your listeners this, if you have a diagnosed chronic condition and you're taking meds, for example, for high blood pressure or diabetes, you're probably going to work with your doctor at some point because you're almost certainly not going to need these meds anymore, but you don't want to discontinue them yourself. So make sure you work closely with your doctor. As your health gets way better, you need to work with your doctor on the meds to make sure that there's no adverse side effects when you discontinue them. I know people that have saved as much as $8,000 a year going on this kind of diet because they just had so many meds. They were taking you with insurance. They were just spending thousands and thousands of dollars. And so you can, you know, depending on your health, really end up saving a lot of money.
Well, what sounds like it's important in all of this is planning, because one of the things you pointed out is if you let yourself get hungry, you're going to eat whatever you see. But if you've planned by, you know, by the way you shop and by what you have available and what you have handy, to, it sounds like you're more likely to be able to follow these four portions, these four groups, correct?
Right, absolutely. You know, I'm so glad you brought that up because it's really important to keep healthy food in your house. And, you know, if there's other people in your house who want to just be eating potato chips or whatever, try to keep them on the bottom shelf out of sight of you, and you can just eat your baked potato while they eat their potato chips. And, you know, bring food to work. You know, and I'm in my office, I always bring just a very big lunch pail of food and keep it in the fridge. And, you know, that way whenever I'm hungry throughout the day, and I probably eat, you know, more frequently and more food than almost anybody else here, and yet I'm probably one of the thinner people and certainly one of the healthiest because of the way I eat. So you can eat more food this way. It's just that, and don't worry about the volume of food. As I said, your body will keep track of it. You'll be astounded by, you know, everybody else will be eating these three forkful tiny little microwave meals, and you'll be eating a huge bowl of soup and, you know, a side of a sandwich, and you're going to be healthier and way less than they will.
Now, I want to ask you, will people get enough protein on a whole foods diet?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because protein's one of the things that people worry about. So I kind of want to put their minds at ease about that. So first, it's important to real briefly understand what protein is. Protein is a chain. So if you think of a chain, like think of a paper chain or even like a paperclip chain, if you took a whole bunch of paper clips and kind of linked them together, that's kind of what protein is. It's structured like a chain, and it has to be put together and folded in a very precise way. But in protein, the links of the chain are what's called amino acids. Mm-hmm. So basically, you have no need whatsoever for protein. What you need are these amino acids, and which you're going to put together yourself into protein. So the important thing to know, and this is really the key that most people don't know, is that there's 20 kinds of amino acids that make up protein. And these 20 kinds make up the protein of every living being on the face of this planet, and that includes both humans and animals and plants. So we're all, you know, if you look at something that's alive, it's made from the same 20 amino acids. Mm-hmm. Now, some of these you can get, you can make yourself. So in adult humans, there's 12 of these 20 amino acids that your body can just make itself. So you really don't even have to worry about them because you're making what you need. Okay. And then the other 8 you do have to get from your diet. They really are essential. So you might wonder, well, okay, where am I going to get these 8 essential amino acids that I need to make my proteins? And by the way, your body has a lot of proteins, possibly up to 1 million. Nobody really knows how many it has, but you have a lot of different kinds in your body that you link together. So here's the thing about the essential amino acids, and if people remember nothing else, this is what I'd like them to remember, is that only plants can make these essential amino acids. They require a lot of energy to make. They're assembled from different elements, and it takes a lot of metabolic energy to put these amino acids together. It's a very energy-intensive process. And animals don't have enough energy. Now, plants, on the other hand, they're out there growing in the sun, right? They have their leaves out, and, you know, they're catching all the sunlight, so they're solar powered. They can put together these amino acids, and they do put together these amino acids. That's why they're the base of the food chain on our planet. So the plants are out there, and they're putting these essential amino acids together, and then either you eat the plant or some animal comes along and eats the plant, gets the essential amino acids from the plant, and then you eat the animal. So it can... You know, obviously you can get the essential amino acids either way, but they're basically plant protein is the base. Animal protein is nothing but recycled plant protein.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, so when you're eating all these whole plants, you know, they're made of protein, and they're going to have protein because they're whole and they were alive, and that's what they're made of. If you eat something made in a factory, let's say you're eating refined white sugar, is that going to have protein? No, of course not, because it's a factory food. But if you're eating some whole food, you know, like, you know, whether you're eating it doesn't really matter what you're eating. It could be strawberries or oatmeal or apples or parsley or leafy greens of some kind, or it could be garbanzo beans or baked potatoes. It doesn't really matter. You're going to be getting plenty of protein. Basically, your body takes apart whatever protein you eat, whether it's from plant or an animal, it doesn't matter. Your body disassembles it, takes the amino acids, and reassembles them into what it needs, because obviously your proteins are different from, you know, lettuce proteins, and they're equally different from cow proteins. So, you know, it's going to make what it needs, basically.
So it sounds like when we eat animals, we are eating second-handed amino acids that we could have gotten directly from the plants. Is that correct?
Exactly. And that's really true of just about everything. I mean, think of the minerals. You know, people say, well, I have to eat dairy foods for calcium. But, you know, hey, where did the cow get their calcium? It's a mineral. It comes from rocks. And it dissolves in the ground. So, you know, cows can't make calcium any more than they can make gold or silver or any other mineral. They can't make it. If the cows could make gold, we'd all be wealthy, right? So
that's right. We'd all have cows.
Right, exactly. So the cows get their calcium from eating plants, and you get your calcium eating plants. So one and only nutrient you need that you're not going to get from plants is actually vitamin B12, which is made by bacteria. So vitamin B12 is an important nutrient. You only need eensy, beansy, teensy, tiny quantities of it. It's made only by bacteria. when humans were kind of living in nature and foraging in nature for food. They were drinking, you know, water from rivers and lakes or whatever, and you know, eating food that they picked up off the ground. So plenty of bacteria on, and they were getting plenty of B12. Nowadays, you know, we sterilize everything. We sterilize our water. We sterilize our food. So, yeah, you do need to get the B12. So my advice is always, when you're on this diet, just to be safe, take a B12 supplement. And your other alternative is to eat dirty food that's been contaminated by bacteria. So you probably don't want to do that.
Okay. I want to ask before we have about 5 minutes left on the show, would you believe? Do our genetic differences have a big impact in choosing what to eat? You know, are there genetic differences?
You know, we all are genetically unique unless you have an identical twin, but that's kind of a myth in terms of it determining whether you should be eating plant foods or something else. Because think of other species. For example, think of rabbits. I mean, all rabbits are genetically different from all other rabbits, but they all eat plants. It's not like some rabbits eat plants and some eat fish. You know, think of mountain lions, right? They all eat deer or whatever prey they can catch, and that's what mountain lions are meant to eat. You know, it's not like some eat deer and some eat pine bark. So within every other species on Earth, regardless of clear genetic differences between individuals, they all eat pretty much the same diet. Because in nature, form follows function. So the very way the animal is put together, its teeth, its claws, its digestive system, its enzymes, its sense of smell, its sight, everything about that animal was designed to help it get the food it needs to survive. And it's the same with humans. We all have a common body design, regardless of genetic differences. If you compare our teeth and digestive systems and fingernails and everything, we're all pretty much the same, which means nature designed us to eat pretty much the same food. And in the case of people, that is the whole plant foods. That's what we're designed by nature to eat. So when you eat this way, you're working with nature. When you eat another way, you're kind of fighting nature, and that's a losing battle. Nature's going to win.
Before we close the show, I want you to tell listeners how they can get a hold of your book, The Perfect Formula Diet. What are the best ways they can get a hold of the diet and a hold of you as well?
Okay, well, The Perfect Formula Diet is my book that outlines everything we just talked about in some more detail. You can get it on Amazon.com or go to my site, perfectformuladiet.com. You could buy an autographed copy there. Or, you know, feel free to read my blogs. If you go to perfectformuladiet.com and click on blogs, there's about 85 blogs there that give a lot more information on what we just talked about, as well as a large number of success stories. And that might, you know, be information that people find interesting. If you click on the contact tab instead of blogs, you can send me an email. And I do check my emails every day and answer all my emails. So don't feel like it's going into a black hole. I'm more than happy to answer listener questions.
Can you share one success story with us quickly before we end the show about someone who's achieved optimum health with this whole foods diet?
Sure, I'd be glad to. If people have seen the movie Forks Over Knives, they'll know there's a number of reality patients. But even if you haven't, the one that I really loved when I saw the movie was Sandara Prude, who's called Sandara Nation in the film. And she's a young woman who was very overweight, had diabetes, high blood pressure, and was just desperate. She went on a diet on which she lost 30 pounds, but her diabetes was still out of control. I have an interview with her on my blog. And through going on a whole food plant-based diet under the supervision of Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, she lost another 40 pounds. Her diabetes basically went away. She's no longer on meds. Her hypertension went away. She's got huge vitality. She remarried her. She also got her husband off diabetes meds, and he's okay now. Her whole family's healthier. You know, it just totally turned her life around. And she's just a wonderful spokesperson for this diet. She's just a really wonderful woman. So I urge everyone to check her story out. But honestly, there's thousands of success stories.
Sure, sure. Well, thank you so much, Janice, for being my guest. And thank all of you listeners for tuning in. I'm going to urge you to go over to Janice's site, Perfect formuladiet.com because you can listen to that interview over there and some more success stories. I invite you to join me again next Monday, August 29th, 2011, at 11 a.m. for another informative and exciting show. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I'm going to ask you to have a blessed week and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.